In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
Come on, are you ready for the word? Throughout this month, I focus on the spirit of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith is natural with you, unless you are not saved. Every believer came with an installation of faith. You know, he said, we having the same spirit of faith. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:13 says. So for a believer not to believe is strange. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you a believer or you are just rolling with us? There's a difference between coming to church and coming to Christ. Some people attend church, but Christ is not in them. You are not saved by the attendance of church services. You are saved because he has moved on your inside. And if he has moved in, he moved in with the spirit of faith. Hey, we having the same spirit of faith. So a believer is not someone that does not have faith. A verse of the scripture says, not all men have faith, but all believers have faith. Don't you never say, I have faith. Somebody say, how do you know? Romans chapter 12 verse 3. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. So I call today's service, Spirit of Faith 2.0. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. He said, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to everyone, each one of us, a measure of faith. So don't let somebody harass you. A fellow believer say, oh, you know, we... No, sir. God has dealt to every one of us. God is a good father. He spread it in the family. Every member of his family has faith. Lift up your two hands where you are. Shout, I have faith. So if you are not living by faith, it's not because you don't have faith. It's because you are not exercising that faith. Because according to this scripture, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So every one of us came with the installation of faith. So the ability to believe God, to declare God's word and experience God's word is natural with us. Can you say one more time? Say, I believe. Can you put your two hands on your chest like this? Oh, I feel the glory of God. Now say it again. Say, I believe. And I declare from today. I can hear you say, I declare from today. Believing God will not be a struggle, because I acknowledge the fact that I have the measure of faith. So faith rules in our family. We believe God. So stop looking at somebody who seems to have a strong faith. Say, I wish I was like him. You're already like him. In fact, better, you are like Jesus. You know, anytime you read Luke, Mark, John, Matthew, and you see how Jesus functioned, you see yourself in the light of him. Because as he is, so are we. We are already like him. Now, don't let this thing covering you deceive you. You are like him. I'm part of the DNA that makes you like him is faith. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, one of the things listed as the fruit of the spirit is what? Faith. faith. You can bear that fruit because you have it in you. Can you say it again? Say, faith is in me. So now that faith is in you, you now need how to live faith. Write it down. How to live faith. How do I live faith? Since Pastor said I have it, then I need to be instructed on how to live it. Is it me, right? Then how do I live it? Because a lot of us, we still find ourselves living fear. And fear is not you. The next time you catch yourself feeling fear, I arrest it right there. I say, no, God has not given me the spirit of fear. This is not me. Where did you come from? I'm not a fear product. I have faith material. I don't do fear. Oh, it's not my, everybody is afraid. Not me. You know, the Bible said concerning Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when he realized multitudes, three strong armies came together to fight him. The first response was he was afraid. But he quickly sought the Lord. That's how a smart man does. When you sense fear, you don't stay there. You go for the remedy, the word. Okay, how do I live faith? Now, in four different places, there's this phrase which I love so much. The just shall live by faith. Can we say it together? I said, the just lives by faith. You will see it. You can, so that you'll be sure I'm not saying, I'm not just making it up. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The just shall live by faith. One Old Testament scripture, three New Testament scripture. But what I want to bring out of this phrase is this. It says, is the just. The just that lives by faith. So, if you don't see yourself as the just, faith remains a struggle. The just. So the starting point is how to establish yourself as the just. But the amazing thing is this, justification in the New Testament is not a function of our performance. Oh, I'm the just. I'm part of choir. I serve in ushering. I assist pastor. I'm a bearer. I'm the just. Did you know how much I gave to that church last year? I must be the just. In as much as all the things I've listed are wonderful, none of them makes you just. Acts chapter 13 verse 39. Acts chapter 13 and verse 39. How are you made just? It says by him. If you notice that him, is the H is capital, right? So it's referring to Christ. It said by Christ, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses that was based on your performance. So the blood of Jesus did what the covenant of the law could not achieve. In fact, the Bible says, for by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. So justification is by faith in what Jesus did for you. The just. Now, open your Bibles to John chapter 8 and verse 3. John chapter 8 verse 3. So we're justified from all things, not some things, not most things, all things. It says, and then the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, in fact, myself, Pastor Griffin and his wife, yesterday we still talk about that, this scripture. What is the minimum number of people that it takes to commit adultery?
Please answer me. I say minimum because adultery now can be three or two or more. Without this ungodly sum. But at least two. Two sum. Come on, talk to me. Two sum. How come it was just one person that was caught? Do you want to know my theory? They set her up. They were looking for something to attack Jesus with, and she was the scapegoat. Apparently, it was one of the men that slept with. Ah, that's just me. Okay. My imagination at work. So they brought this woman who supposedly was in adultery to Jesus. Go to verse 8. John chapter 8, verse 8. He says, and again he stooped down, that was Jesus, and wrote on the ground. That's after they have accused this woman and they were expecting the response of Jesus. So this morning, I want to give you the response of Jesus where your mess is concerned. So they wanted to know Jesus' position where a mess was concerned. Remember, they had proof that she sinned. Move to verse 9, please. Jesus was writing on the ground. Then those who had it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, these people came with an accusation, expecting, they thought they had cornered Jesus. What are you going to do about this? After all, you've been attacking our laws. But according to the law of Moses, we want to know your position. Are you for the law or you are not for the law? And Jesus says, no, no problem. According to your law, she should be stoned, right? The law says when you are caught in adultery, then, you know, you should be stoned to death. He said, okay, I don't argue with you. You are going to stone. But the only thing is, the person that will do the stoning must be somebody without sin. Do you know what I believe Jesus was doing? As he was writing down, you know, listen, the difference between the person you are shaming and you, a lot of times, is the fact that the person has been caught, you have not been caught. If God had to be counting iniquities, will anyone be able to stand before him? So he said, okay. But what they did not realize is they were dealing with Jesus, who knew all men. So he knew what each one of them had done. The one that slept with his friend's wife, he wrote it down. Simon, you slept with your wife's wife. The one that stole his company money, Jairus. The money you stole last week, what about it? And apparently, he wrote down all their mess. And the Bible says, one after the other, they walked away because none of them had the justification to stone her again. So what was Jesus doing? He was dismissing her accuser. And I've come this morning to let you know that this is still the stand of Jesus. Jesus is the justifier of the unjust. I didn't just make it up. It's in the scripture. He justifies the unjust. Knowing that the unjust is unjust, he still chooses to justify her. The love of Jesus is amazing. The reason why we struggle with it is because it's beyond natural. It's divine. So every one of them walked away but Jesus. Why? Jesus was the only one who was without sin. So technically, he was the only one who had the right to stone the woman according to the law. So he was with the right to stone her. Verse 10. It was just Jesus and the woman. John chapter 8, verse 10. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her,
woman, where are those accusers of yours? Is there anyone here who's still condemning you? Verse 11. And she said, no one, Lord. Oh, what an anointing in this atmosphere. No one, Lord. And the next thing he will say, neither do I. Who has the right to condemn? Because I'm the only one without sin. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Do you know the problem we have in the church? We are so quick to use the phrase, go and sin no more. But there's something that precedes go and sin no more. In fact, the power of go and sin no more is in it. You want to know what's that? Neither do I condemn you. I came this morning with a message from God. Neither do I condemn you. Because the only way you'll be able to please me is when you have no condemnation hanging on your neck. Because it's the just that lives by faith. And without faith, you can't please me. So what do? I take the seal of condemnation, the badge of condemnation, the garment of condemnation. I take it away from you. Because in fact, that's the only way you can bear fruits of righteousness. Until you can receive my gift of righteousness, you can't bear my fruits of righteousness. Get on your feet. I thought I was going to be saying a lot this morning, but God told me, he said, this is the whole essence of this service. I need my people to know my position. Are you here this morning? The enemy is hanging shame on you. He's hanging condemnation on you. What you did 6 years ago, what you did 5 years ago, what you did yesterday, what you did last month, your unruly behavior. You know, you messed up a family. Maybe you slept with somebody's wife, you got a woman pregnant and you ran away. As bad as it is, Jesus is standing in the midst with you. And he says, I know your mess. I'm not for sin. But the only way I can free you from sin is by giving you a gift called righteousness, which is all based on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, he that knew no sin was made to be sin, that you that was born and conceived in sin will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest revelations of the New Testament is the gift of righteousness. The ability to stand up every morning and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have a right standing with God because of what my elder brother did. His sacrifice is now my gift.
Yes.
He did it. I have it as a gift. And forever, do you know, God will see you in the light of what he did. You don't come before God and God is saying, is that not the boy that messed up yesterday? No. He sees you in the light of your brother Jesus. Because when Adam sinned, he sinned for all. When Jesus sacrificed, he sacrificed for all. The payment covers you. Maybe you are here this morning still trying to pay for your sin. Don't try to pay for it. He knew you will never be able to pay for it. That's why he paid for you. Why not just receive the receipt of his payment? You know what the receipt of that payment is? Righteousness. Nothing gets God more excited than when a believer says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know that declaration actually is worship? It pleases God. Because you are honoring the sacrifice of his son. You are saying this sacrifice is real. I believe it. I declare it. And when that is received faithfully, then sin no more becomes a reality. It's not just that you are trying not to sin. Sin is now the struggle. Before, not to sin was struggle, but now sin. Oh my God, you didn't hear that. So it flipped around. Before it's like, not to sin. Because you are a natural sinner. But now you are a natural righteousness. So when you sin, you notice when you sin now, you feel bad. Before you sin and you move on. In fact, it's when you don't see that you surprise yourself and say, I'm surprised I did not curse. But now, when you sin, it feels off. And the reason why it's off is because you are the righteousness. Don't take up an identity that is not yours. Now turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are not a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The life of God defines you. You are as righteous as Jesus. Do you know Jesus is more righteous than you? You are as righteous as Jesus. You can't improve righteousness. It's standard. The same standing that Jesus has, you have. So I say, what do I do then? Receive it. That's why Romans chapter 5 verse 17. What a teaching this morning. Romans 5 17. As I close, I am righteous. Hey, I want you to be shocked by righteousness so much that when you get home today, the first verse you see, say, I am righteous. Say, what's going on? I'm righteous. He just done on me. Look at it. He said, if by the one man's offense. You know, religion is terrible. Religion elevates this. How many times have you heard about how Adam messed you up by what he did? He had that fruit. That's why so many Christians, when they get to heaven, the first place they are looking for is Adam's cutter. Where's Adam's cutter? Because they have heard so much about that Adam. But I came this morning to introduce to you the last Adam. Hey! It's not about the Adam that sinned. It's about the Adam that died for your sin. He says, if by one man's offense, death reigned. Through that one, Adam, much more. So what Jesus did is much more. Much more. So what are you doing with less when you have much more? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, stop rolling with the first Adam. The last Adam is here. Come on, tell at least three people, stop rolling with the first Adam. The last Adam is here. Stop rolling with the first Adam. The last Adam is here. A new creation is not after the order of the first Adam. It's after the order of the last Adam. And that's why in New Testament, Jesus is our focus. Adam, Adam this, Adam that. Which Adam are you talking about? Because I know another Adam. The Adam that died for me. The Adam that will not stone me. The Adam that chooses not to condemn me. The Adam that gifted me with righteousness. I did not work for it, but yet it's mine. That's the Adam I know about. And that's why I worship him forever. I will forever love him. I will forever worship him. He's everything to me. He's my life. Invite the life which I live now. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me enough to give his life for me. I'm gifted with righteousness. So now I can please God. I'm the just. I've been justified by the blood of Jesus so that I can please God. I came this morning to let somebody know you are the generation God has been waiting for all this long. A generation that will worship him in spirit and in truth, because they've caught it. They are not under condemnation. They are sins. He says, I will remember no more. The payment is sufficient. The payment is enough. See,
sin is not hanging on you. Shame is not hanging on you. Condemnation is not your portion again. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. Lift up your hands and begin to worship Jesus this morning. The just that lives by faith. The just that lives by faith. The just that lives by faith. Lift up your hands in honor of Him. Your lover, your redeemer, your sanctification, your righteousness, your wisdom. Mekoso tegri abele kutaya, embolo kutaya baba baba. Egagagadu zobrulo kota. Eya. Mekotaya. I will not be.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.